Chapter 5. While the only desire of John was to please the Lord, His Majesty was filling his soul with consolations and treasures, and the more mercies he received from God, so much more he showed his gratitude by preparing himself for further graces. When he was a young man of 20 years, he was as guileless as a child of 2, and as prudent as a man of 50. Never were seen in him the failings peculiar to 20 years, no levity, no restlessness or disorder whatsoever. He avoided frivolous company and worthless entertainments, and in this way he found much time for every virtuous exercise. What games ever distracted him from his study? What jokes from his earnestness? Profane spectacles did not attract his eyes, nor perishable goods his will. From the world he coveted nothing but its contempt. The school, the church, and the hospital were dearest to him. The prudence of his words, the modesty of his aspect, and the gentleness of his manners made him amiable and venerable. It is enough to say that the eulogy of Tobias was verified in him. And when he was younger than any of the tribe of Naphtali, yet did he no childish thing in this world. Tobias chapter 1 verse 4. The old monks to the great Macarius of Egypt the name Pe de Rogeron, which translated to our language means old youth, or as the Latin has it, pure centum honorium. Such was John, and such were not only the signs, but the evident proofs of the natural and supernatural gifts with which he was endowed. Great and generous souls often show in their childhood a kind of vicious exuberance, sure signs of great capacity and natural talent for virtue, and of the fruits which right education will develop in them. But our John did not manifest any youthful waywardness. He produced well-seasoned fruits of high perfection from the very first, and this we may consider evidence of his destiny, not only to be a model of the highest perfection, but also to establish or re-establish it in organized society. In earnest of this, our Lord visited him with a marvelous vision. The devout young man was praying one day with his accustomed fervor and devotion, asking the Lord to guide him to the state of life in which he would serve him best, being entirely resigned to the divine will, saying with the psalmist, I have put my trust in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God, my lots are in thy hands. Psalm 30, verses 15 and 16. The Lord heard this prayer, and consoled him, saying, Thou art to serve me in an order, the ancient perfection of which thou shalt help to bring back again. He understood that God wished him to become a religious, and he was content, but he could not understand that he was to do so great a work as to recover the former greatness of any order. He shrank from the task, and so far as he could, banished the thought of it from his mind, for he looked upon it as a snare and an occasion of delusion to his soul. He confessed this at a later time to the saintly nun, the Venerable Anne of Jesus. Hitherto he had no thought about religious life as possible for him, but from this time forth the desire to leave the world, into which he had never entered, grew very strong. The more he prayed, the more he longed to be a religious, but he was not inclined more towards one than another. He was equally indifferent to all, and all were equally desired. The Carmelites of the old observance had come to the city of Medina in the year 1560 and founded the convent of St. Anne. One day John went to St. Anne's, and at the sight of the Carmelite habit he was deeply moved. Never before had it made such an impression on him. By this he understood that he was called to Carmel. He was glad he had been poor all his life, and that he could now embrace poverty as his bride and give himself up to our Lord in his poverty. He went into the house and begged to be received into the order. The friars were pleased, because he was well known in the city. Accordingly, he received the habit on the feast of St. Matthias, February 24, 1563, being then in the 21st year of his age. He was delighted with his lot, reckoning himself as fortunate as St. Matthias, who was numbered with the 12 apostles, and therefore he took that name, calling himself John of St. Matthias. He improved his surname later, when his own condition was changed for the better, by calling himself Father John of the Cross.